Guys, I just had the fattest burp and Katie wasn't even fucking recording. Oh my
God. I know.
How
I'm
rude of you.
Sorry.
Hells yeah. Also, I've been very gassy, so like,
ooh,
sorry.
Hot. Sexy.
Hopefully it'll just be burps for the podcast. You know, gotta keep my brand going.
I mean, if it's farts, just make sure you put your butt next to the mic.
You're right. That's smart.
Like, it's all gas. It's fine.
Also, if you hear me sniffling, for those who might have missed, I don't know how much is going to get cut out from the beginning conversation. I have a little bit of a head cold. So, my voice sounds sultrier, but I also do this frequently. So, sorry.
Sorry.
Because my nose is not running enough for me to blow it. And if I did blow it, it's just inflamed, so nothing would come out. So don't tell me to blow my nose, people.
I'm just like full of boogers. It's not even stuffed up. It's just boogers. It's really gross. And I like blow my nose. And I was like, that's just a giant booger. But yes. Boogers. Oh, there's a good one. There's a good one. Yeah. Well, welcome to our show. Hello. Hello.
Hello. My name's Amanda.
I'm Katie. And this is the 50 Worst Dates podcast, a show where sometimes people ask us for advice and we give them the rundown of how to live their lives. Today is one of those days. Welcome. What are we talking about today, Amanda? We're talking about that.
We're talking about that. Oh, I feel like another one's coming. It's like when you sneeze. And I was like, I don't want to start talking and then just like burp in the middle of it. But anyway, today we are talking about social media and exes. And like how to deal with social media when you have a new ex. What do you do?
Or an old ex.
Or an old ex. Like, just what do you do? What do you do when interacting, avoiding interacting, whatever, with a significant other who is no longer a significant other, or someone
a
that
person
you
who knows all your secrets,
a person who has been inside you or you've been inside them, in
big fans of those people
be.
When they're doing it, not as much when they're not.
Yeah.
So, like, how do you deal with the etiquette of the internet with exes? Like, there's so many, and we'll get into it, there's so many features of all the apps we use, and what is the, like, societally engaged etiquette of how to use those features and how to incorporate people into your lives? Because, like, we could in theory get into deeper stuff of, like, when do you become Instagram official? When do you, like, share their handle in your stories? But there's like all of these very nuanced, ridiculous things that like let people into your life.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you balance all that? Nobody taught us how to deal with this. Like, there's no Friends episode where Rachel and Joey discuss this.
Yeah.
It's not happening like rapid real time. So, and that's where we come in with our opinions and our internet research. Hooray.
Hooray. Also, side note, the wonderful ladies of My Favorite Murder did a podcast with Megan Mullally and Nick Offerman.
Oh my goodness.
And like, if that ain't goals, I don't fucking know what it is.
That's...
I'm going to send you the picture because they're all in a bed together.
Wow.
It's very cute.
I know they released a live show with Chuck Bryant, who did their Hometown Murder, and he is the host of one of my most long-standing favorite podcasts. Oh my God, look at them.
I know. Aren't they cute?
They're so cute.
Love it.
Wow. I would also like to get in that bed. I would like to be that dog in that picture.
There you go.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. Wow. Wow. Let's get into this shit. Let's get this show on the road. Let's talk about stuff. thanks to this person for submitting your DM so we could talk about it anonymously on the air. Remember, before we get into this, if you're thinking like, oh my god, I also have my own issues, 50 Worst Dates Podcast on Instagram. We will take your DMs and put them on the air and answer your questions, but we'll also give you real-time advice. So this person got real-time advice to handle things like in the moment, and we're just now talking about it. So you get like, a follow-up. You get like a study guide, and then you get like some extra study guides.
There you go.
Yeah. BRB though, listen to this ad.
Woo.
What a gem. Okay, let's get into it, guys. Let's get this dang show on the road.
I have a really like sexy thing to do right now. Ready?
Are you gonna fart?
No. No. Wasn't that hot? Yeah, that's what I thought. I literally cannot breathe out of my nose, and I'm not a mouth breather, so this is painful.
Mouth breather. You're fine. You're doing great.
Thank you.
You kind of sound like you smoked back before you like got on the air, but like it's fine. That's what radio hosts sound like.
Just a little bit. I smoke like 6 packs a day. It's fine. Like, of life.
Hey. I got 6 packs of Yu-Gi-Oh cards.
Hot.
Oh, God.
I bet you there's someone out there who loves my burps.
I think all of our listeners are actually dirty old men that are into your burping.
Okay, if you want compilations of me burping, please donate to Australia. Just the whole country. Just donate to the country.
Yeah, prove that you donated to one of those charities that girl who sold her nudes for did.
We'll do that, except burping.
Yeah. We're like feet pics. I don't know.
Yeah.
Something that won't get me fired. Whatever. It's fine.
There you go.
There you go, guys. Donate to Australia.
But anyway, Katie, continue.
Yeah. So we received this SOS DM over our holiday break that brought up like some really solid, great questions. And we do want to talk about it. Because like I said, friends didn't teach us this etiquette. There wasn't like a How I Met Your Mother episode about this. Like this was not on Blue's Clues. You were not like finding clues to figure out if you should like reply to that DM from your ex on Instagram. So, hello. I had a question, and I thought you'd have a great answer, smiley face. For the last 4-ish months, I've been casual with a guy friend / friends with benefits. We met through a mutual friend, and he has since become a part of my community and knows all my friends. From the start, he told me he didn't want a commitment. I was stubborn and dumb and had the thought that I could change his mind.
Yo, and girl, I have been there. I have done that.
Every 30 girls does it.
Yep.
It's fine. And I didn't change his mind. So it ended last week. It was great on friendly terms. And we've had a final fun night going out together. And we were on the same page that I'm moving on in January. Welcome to January. I have a dilemma, however. I have him set as close friends on Instagram. In it, ending it with him, we agreed we'd stay good friends. I do want to stay friends with him, but I need distance to stop obsessing over him. Parentheses. I've spent way too much mental energy on him, including writing this. End parentheses. Is it juvenile if I remove him from my close friends? Or do I leave it as is because it would make things more awkward? Do I keep him but not engage with him through stories? Which, by the way, I'm planning not to be in contact with him digitally for at least 30 days. Please. There's my verb. I did it. please let me know your thoughts. Thank you. There's a lot going on here, and it's a very thoughtful question, which is why I really, really like it.
Which is why we dedicated a whole episode to it.
Right? But, like, this is an important pulpit we need to get on.
It is.
I just decided I was going to do close friends. Like, Amanda's in my close friends. Congratulations.
Bitch, if I wasn't in your close friends, I would slap you. I would walk to Chicago. Just kidding. I would drive to Chicago.
And I would walk 500 miles and I would walk 500 more. Just slap me.
My legs would look so good, though, after.
So good.
But anyway, I'd bitch slap you, so.
Right. So you're one of, like, 14 people in my close friends, which is still, like, a lot of people.
Yeah, I have, like, 5 friends. What's funny, though, is I'll see people's stories and I'll be, like, in their close friends and I'm like, oh, my God, I feel so cool. I am part of the exclusive club.
One of my OG Tumblr friends, I'm in her close friends.
Ugh, amazing. Like, I'm literally in people's close friends group of people that, like, I'm not really friends with. And I'm like, you think I'm cool enough to see your super top secret things. And it...
You're, like, inner life.
I know. And it makes me so happy.
Because that is really... For anybody who doesn't know, Instagram has... So they have the stories. And if you post a story, just plainly, everyone who follows you, and even depending on your settings, people who don't follow you can see it. And it'll show up in that queue up at the top. But you can identify close friends and pick the people you like the most and say, I'm going to post stuff that's just for them and their eyes only. And those people get to see, like, an extra level of your life.
There you go. Yep.
So, like, this is further... At first, I was really against Instagram stories to begin with because I didn't want to do multiple stories for things because I already had Snapchat. Now I've given up on Snapchat. I have identified with Instagram stories, but now I have to, like, post an even deeper level of my life to my really good friends. What? There's a lot going on here. There's just a lot to commit to. And this boy doesn't want to commit. So, like, what is he doing? What is he doing? But we're going to talk about it. First of all, I do want to really note that, like, there's a bunch of personal boundaries mentioned in this question of, like, I'm not going to contact this person for 30 days. We're going to be good friends. We went out together with the, like, predilection that we're good friends and had one last fling kind of thing. So, like, there's a lot of, like, drawing of personal boundaries here that I'm seeing. And what worries me is that human beings are bad at self-control.
Yes.
Like, we're podcast people, you know? So I just listened to a podcast that was all about self-control in the new year. And they specifically interviewed, like, a researcher at the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania. And this is, like, what she studies and what she does with her life. And what she said was, like, human beings evolved to be bad at self-control because we never knew when winter was coming when we were, like, barely not monkeys. When we originally evolved to look the way that we do, we were, like, ready to starve around the corner. So eating all the sugar and eating all the carbs and consuming those things on a really basic level, that was good for us. It prepared us for the unknown. Or at the end of the day, the reason you want to, like, get with this person and hang out with them and like them is because your brain wants to procreate with them. So, like, procreation is good to, like, sustain your species. So, like, we evolved to be bad at self-control because it proliferates human beings. Mm-hmm. But there's also, I feel like, a marginal cost to willpower. So, like, if you remember in econ classes, marginal cost was, like, if I buy one of these things, I value it a lot. If I buy two of these things, I value it a little less. If I buy three of these things, I value it even less. So, like, every time you hold out too long, you're going to end up breaking on something else. Every time you set up all these personal boundaries for yourself, you're going to end up breaking later down the line. So, that said, to our anonymous listener, I would say use the tools at your disposal to, like, not catch yourself using your willpower at all. Like, set yourself up for success. In the same way, you, if you were, like, trying to get into, like, going to the gym in the morning, like, new year, new you, like, and you're like, oh, if I leave my gym shoes in front of the bathroom door, I'll remember that I need to go to the gym. Or if I sleep in my gym clothes, I'll just go straight to the gym and I will just roll out of bed and go for a run. So, like, set yourself up for success. So, like, block this motherfucker would be my advice. Remove him from your close friends. Remove, like, any way for him to, like, entice you to reply to him. But also, like, remove any opportunity you have to, like, really directly communicate with him. Because if you're setting a 30-day boundary on yourself, that's, like, a lot. Like, furthermore, I took notes, guys. Can you tell I'm a lot more put together this week? And by this week, I mean we recorded last week, like, 2 days ago, and I edited it yesterday, and I was like, oh, she rambling. Yeah. Sorry.
Which is why that. I got to a point where I was like, Katie, shut up.
I cut that out, but yes.
They don't know that, but that happened. I was like, I was starting to get so sleep, or no, I, yeah, I was getting, like, really tired, and I was like.
It's okay. I understand. I can talk a lot.
I mean, it's been a couple of weeks. We have, like, 3 weeks worth of shit that we got to get out, you know?
There's so much inside me that I need to get out.
Yeah, that's why you can't fall asleep.
Exactly. That's why you twitch. So, here's my pitch of the day. If there's someone you don't fucking like,
burp in their face.
Oof. Slap them in the... Walk 500 miles and walk 500 more and slap them directly in the face.
There you go.
But, like, I'm a firm believer in blocking your exes and, like, removing yourself from their feed as you can. And you can go about this a few different ways. But in my experience, because we like to talk about our experiences a lot here. So this goes two different ways. You've blocked your ex from your Instagram. You've unfollowed them. You've removed them from your feed. You have prevented them from seeing your stories. You have prevented them from seeing your profile. Oof, that was a Brussels sprout burp. So you've done all the good measures you should do to prevent them from seeing your shit. You block them from your memories on Facebook. Pro tip. You go out to scenario one. You go out to drinks with your friends. Casually mention an ex that they know and they respond. Isn't it weird that we fucked people that are married? Fully confirming that your ex is married because you didn't know that up until this moment. This happened to me like 2 weeks ago, guys.
Jesus.
And however, this person still follows me and will occasionally watch my shit. But like I think I like blocked them before stories were a thing. It's been that long. But like you've done everything you can. You're still going to hear about this person. But like I've also removed myself from the scenario where like I don't know what's going on anymore. I don't want to know what's going on. Or you're a dumb bitch like me and you unfollow your ex, refollow your ex after like a year, and then they trickle into your DMs all the goddamn time. I'm going to choose to block that motherfucker every single time. So block this boy, dear listener, dear reader. Block this motherfucker, set an alarm on your phone to, like, remind you to unblock them, maybe, if you do really want to, like, keep it chill. Because I get that if he's friends with your friends, like, you don't want to be that guy. But also, you're probably cooler than him, and your friends should pick you over him. It's my personal opinion.
There you go.
Ooh, listen to that scratching.
Yeah. Ooh.
So the close friends thing complicates stuff because, like, he could still view your regular stories, but not your really, like, close friend stories.
True.
Are you posting anything like that groundbreaking? Also, ask yourself that. Are you just posting, like, the book you're reading today? Or are you posting, like, you crying about something?
Or, like, nudes.
Or nudes. Are you saving Australia with your nudes?
Huh. Maybe.
Maybe. Who knows? Yeah, so I say you remove this motherfucker from close friends altogether because he's no longer your close friend. He's just your friend. He's someone who was inside of you once. And you just, like, don't engage with this person. And don't just remove yourself from situations where, like, oh, look at that book you're reading. I read that, too. Oh, my God. Oh, I like that coffee shop. Where he, like, if he's a fuckboy, he will try to slide back in. Don't give him the opportunity to slide back in.
So, my opinions on this, my opinions on this are, I'll save my rant for a different section, but my opinions are very short and sweet because, I mean, if this is someone that you're willing to maintain friendship with, the issue is, like, you don't want to fall back, and this is what happened to me. You know, I was hooking up with someone, thought I could change, well, they were very unclear about what they wanted, first of all. Mm-hmm. But I also, you know, thought that they were into me in a way, like, that they wanted to be monogamous, whatever. They didn't, whatever. And after, like, we ended things, like, we didn't talk for a while, and then we started casually hooking up again, which is a terrible decision because you're going to fall back into that trap. So, first of all, you want to avoid that. Is this someone, and then you have to ask yourself, is this someone that I actually want in my life? Because to me, the kind of answer to your problem is that life is too short to care so goddamn much about what other people think. So, you know, people who want to be in your life will be in your life. Mm-hmm. If you piss them off, you don't see them for several years, et cetera, like, people who genuinely want to be in your life will be in your life. And if you want them in your life, like, if it's people who are, you don't want.
I think it's clear that this person, like, wants this person, but, like, not as much as they used to be.
True. But I'm just saying, like, there's clearly feelings here. So yeah. The thing
you're
just
downgrading,
like,
their security clearance.
Exactly. And so, you know, do you want them to be in your life in a platonic setting, or is it that you have feelings for them? And sometimes that's not going to change. And sometimes the best thing to do is to either remove yourself entirely from that situation, or if you think that that is a place where you guys can become friends, definitely give yourself time. As Katie said, like, and I'll kind of talk about this later too, like, blocking individuals, I think that's a little bit harsh if you're trying to, like, not make things weird. Unless you've communicated to them, like, hey, I'm, you know, I had these feelings about you. I just need some space, but I still, like, want to be friends. Like, that's different. But I don't know, like, how communicative you are with that. That's kind of how I was when myself and Matt broke up. I was like, listen, I want us to still be friends, but, like, I can't fucking talk to you. Yeah. And so it's still great that you're still friendly with them. You know, I totally support that. But it's not weird to unfriend someone on the close friend thing, because, to be quite frank, I doubt that he fucking cares. He probably mm-hmm. doesn't, to be quite, like, to be completely honest, he probably doesn't even know. He's like, what's this green thing? He doesn't give a fuck. So,
and if he's, like, really in touch with what it means and all of that, that's not cool either.
Yeah.
If he gets mad about not being in your close friends anymore, like, he needs to check himself.
Yeah. So, I mean, if it's for your own mental health, which it seems like it is, then it's honestly for your betterment. I know that you sent us this a couple weeks ago. So hopefully, I mean, I'd love to hear some follow-up of what you ended up doing, because I know we responded.
Follow-up I heard from this person is that she had been reading How to Date Men When You Hate Men by Blythe Robertson.
It's such a good book.
I just picked it up. It's, like, sitting next to me right now. I'm really excited.
I love it. It's so funny. That's a great book to read. How to Date Men When You Hate Men. It's fantastic.
I'm
going
to casually leave it out for my boyfriend to show up to my apartment and see.
And he'll be like, I get it.
Like, yeah, I get it. Yeah.
So,
spoiler, Amanda's my boyfriend.
It's me.
It's with you the whole time.
Yeah, Katie's my partner. I'm her boyfriend. Like, it's fine. It works.
It's fine.
Neither of us are actually.
You're the only person in my life who can pull off suspenders.
Oh, I'm honored.
Which is, like,
I do look
the only quality I'm looking for in a man.
I do look really good in them, though.
You look so good in suspenders.
Yeah, I know. and then the pants that I wear with them make my butt look so good. It's just all around a fantastic situation.
Yeah. You're doing great.
Yeah.
You're doing great.
It's pretty magnificent. Thank you. Thank you very much. I thought about this actually recently. This is very unrelated. I was thinking about like when I get married, I'm like, am I going to want to wear a pantsuit?
I can see it.
I could see myself wearing some like elegant as fuck lady pantsuit. But I also love dresses, so we'll see. We'll see.
We'll see. Maybe dress at the ceremony pantsuit at the reception.
That's what I was thinking. But yeah, we'll see.
You want that mobility when you're trying to dance.
You do. But you know, and I want my dress to be able to like convert to a pant. It'll be like a skirt. A wedding
dress. I feel like there were pants under this the whole time. For a lot of blazer. And just get jiggy with it. I see it. I see it. I'll be there.
Oh my God. I'll be the
other person at the other end of the aisle.
Well, you're.
Because we're getting married.
Yeah, I was going to say, we're partners. So, like, we're getting married. Duh.
Yeah. Yeah.
But back to the topic at hand, not my imaginary wedding that's not happening.
Yeah, just to clarify, Amanda's not getting married anytime soon. She's not allowed.
I'm not allowed, apparently, but no, I'm not.
I don't have the money for you to get married. Because I don't have the money for you.
I don't have the money for me to get married, so.
Me don't have money for me to get married.
So, like, no worries on that one. Also, yeah, I've only been with my significant other for a few months, so. Mm-hmm. I ain't trying to fucking get married that early. I ain't one of those.
No, I just imagined him listening to this now. It's fine.
He doesn't listen, so that's great.
Great.
So great. I can talk all the shit that I want.
Cool beans. Let's talk some shit. Let's talk about one of your favorite things to do.
Well,
not burping, not fucking, not walking your dog. What could it be?
What could it be? So, we're going to be talking about social media cleanses.
Yeah, because I think this particular question that we got brings up, like, how to back away from things.
Correct. And we have this little like section typed out that is kind of geared from this Vice article on how to stop checking your ex's social media.
Yes. I thought that was so important.
And the first tip is kind of what sparks this rant of mine because I'm very impassioned about social media cleanses. So the first tip is to use an app block for a full social media cleanse, which is like, I've done those before, but as Katie said, you know, we have, humans are very terrible at like holding themselves accountable.
Yeah. We're bad at being accountable for our actions.
Yeah.
Had someone tell you that you're being a bad friend and you start crying knowing that you are being a bad friend? Yeah. We're really bad at being accountable.
Yeah. Or, like, you know that you've been a bad friend, yet it took to that moment for you to be like, oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
The whole time you're being a shithead.
Yeah. That's why we have these reality TV shows.
Yeah, pretty much. So, anyway, there is, like, at the top of this Google Doc, Katie just put, Amanda, want to talk about the benefits of a general social media cleanse? And I was like, absolutely. So, I call this, social media cleanses are good for your eyes. And your soul, because like blue light is terrible for your eyeballs.
Eyes are the souls of your face.
Yep. A TED Talk by Amanda Christine Bicaw. So my nose is like so stuffy. I feel like a fucking elephant. So currently I'm on my first social media cleanse of 2020. Holla. And I say first because there's like a bare minimum of three that will happen this year. This happens every year. I just go through these phases where I get very tired of being just so obsessed with social media as we get. And then I just delete them. Granted, right now I'm only cleansing myself from Snapchat at the moment because sometimes I've done it, but a true cold turkey cleanse from everything is like too fucking challenging. So, you know, you got to take it one dinosaur at a time. And so I deleted Snapchat. I don't have Twitter. And Facebook, I can't delete off of my phone because for whatever with the Samsung Galaxy, it's like one of those apps that's like,
it's required.
Yeah. Like apparently Facebook owns Samsung. I don't know, but I really only use Facebook to like read articles and do BuzzFeed quizzes. So that one's less problematic. And then there's Instagram. So Instagram and Snapchat are the two social media platforms that I use the most, probably Instagram being the most. But I tried to delete both and I was struggling. So I'm just on Snapchat right now, or off Snapchat right now. But I have a strong love-hate relationship with social media in the same way that I do with dating apps, because my current partner and I met from Hinge. So Hinge, sponsor us, and Bumble. That's all I'm gonna say.
The app should sponsor us, but we will tell you that like they do get exhausting. I'm in like a like advice group on Facebook because I'm a nosy little bitch. And I was helping a girl with this today. She was like, I want to get on dating apps, but Tinder feels like a meat market. And I'm like,
Because it is.
Here's the deal. Here's the rundown.
If you're a vegetarian like me, you don't want to go on Tinder. Hell no.
No. There's a weird amount of people even on Tinder that are just like, fuck vegetarians. I'm a red-blooded American male.
I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about how it's like a meat market. Oh,
like because you don't want to feel like a little cow.
Yeah, I don't want to, as much as I love cows, I don't want to feel like a little cow. But yeah, so it's actually really funny because I was the first date that he had ever gone on from a dating app. And I was like, you hit the fucking jackpot in the first go around. You're welcome.
I was the first like real date he had been on in like a year and a half or something.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was like the first date he'd been on a long time, but I was the first date that he had been on like via dating app.
Oh, so he's got like a record of 100%.
Yeah. So he's like one for one.
And wow.
Yeah. I told him he wasn't getting rid of me unless I died. So I was like, sucks for you. Like,
sucks for you.
Like, you're stuck with me. You're stuck with me now. So it sucks to suck. But anyway, I hate and love social media the way that I do about dating apps. It's almost necessary to be somewhat socially involved in order to just like be a successful human in 2020. But granted, I will say there are the mutant people who survive without any social media, but those are the outliers of the graph and the rest of us, we're fucked. So
those are like angry people too. Like I feel like the people who don't use social media are like really uppity about it.
Yeah.
And it's like, I can't prove to my friends that you're a person.
Yeah.
Like,
it's rude.
It's weird. It's rude. You meet someone who doesn't have a Facebook. It's like, you're not. No.
Yeah.
It's like not having a driver's license at this point, or like a state ID. Like, you need something.
But anyway, so social media is like a goddamn black hole of nightmares, but I love it. It is my vice, or one of them. In fact, I got so like horrifically addicted to it. I've mentioned this before a few months ago that I got into a large tiff with one of the dearest people in my life. Cause she called my motherfucking ass out for being a shitty friend, holding ourselves accountable here, people, because I was not being like present when I was hanging out with her. I was just like on my phone all the time. And I don't think when I was out with new people, I would put my phone away. But when I was with people that I knew and like want, like my friends, I would just constantly be on my phone. And that's such a dick move. So she called me out and I was like, you're fucking right. And like, since then I've been a lot more mindful about it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it had become a problem and I don't know, like, if it was my anxiety manifesting or what, but it was bad. It was toxic. And so I realized that I needed to be more present. And I loved Snapchat like I'm a fucking goddamn vlogger because I think I'm hilarious. But that's not...
You are.
That's not sustained. It's also just easier than texting, to be honest, to like video record. But it's not sustainable. And I think I've also mentioned this too, but like a couple years ago when I returned from my 2-week vacay in New Zealand, I really didn't have access to social media or internet. And if I did, it was for like a very short amount of time at like the end of the day. And a lot of times we had to pay for how much internet we could use. And so a lot of times it was just looking for like directions or so that I can message like my friends and family being like, I'm not dead. So I had a mild form of like adjustment disorder when I got back because I was so fucking bummed with how just loud the world was because I was in New Zealand, which is not a heavily populated country and it's beautiful. So I was like in nature and just very present and it was awesome. And then I come back to this very like quick, fast paced life and like social media and I got sucked right back into it and I was like so fucking bummed. And then that was kind of when my social media purges really began because I was like, I need to take a fucking break.
Mm-hmm.
So all in all, like, I think in many ways, social media is great. Just like technology, like there's good and the bad. I think in many ways, social media is fantastic. You're able to stay connected to people who don't live close to you. Like without it, I would not be able to maintain such good relationships with, you know, everyone in Chicago.
Yeah. So, like we wouldn't talk as much if you didn't.
Absolutely not.
Like it is important.
So, you know, although it's toxic, I think it can be incredibly valuable when used correctly. And social media post breakup or anything involving like ex relationships can be a fucking nightmare. As we, you know, kind of started with the question about, you know, do I maintain this close friends thing on Instagram? Like that's probably mm-hmm. something that she has racked her brain about. Mm-hmm. And that's not something that should take up that much time, you know?
Yeah.
So I put together some tips on like my tips on how to like do a social, how to realistically do a social media cleanse. Because although the Vice article suggests using an app blocker, that's great. But at the end of the day, it's for me, like I just worked around it or I like turned it off or whatever. And then I would like just Google, like I would delete the Instagram app, but still Google Instagram.com and then still go on it. So like, it wasn't like
a fucking addict
for real. Right. But it's just because I'd be bored and I'm like, oh, and I really like looking at the photos that people post because the people mm-hmm. I follow are people I genuinely enjoy seeing their shit. So like, yeah, it was a whole thing. But anyway, tip number one is simply just putting your fucking phone away. And, you know, if you can't part from Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, whatever, for whatever reason, whether it's you're not ready to fully commit to a cleanse or, you know, you are an influencer or something and like, mm-hmm. or social media is part of your job, then at a bare minimum, when you're with friends or even alone sometimes, just put your phone away. You know, you can check it occasionally, but devote your attention to those around you. And you will thank me later for this one. But just being present with people is so important. And it's made me a better listener. It's made me a better friend, a better partner, a better just family member, whatever. It's just made me a better person because I'm no longer obsessing about my phone and not and like half listening to someone because you can listen to someone while they're talking and look on your phone. Sure. But you're not really listening. And mm-hmm. so just putting your phone away, is like just a simple way to kind of cleanse yourself of social media. That's like the bare minimum of what you should be doing. Another thing I like to do, and this actually goes really well with like putting your phone away, is turning off notifications. Mm-hmm. So if you go to like your settings on your phone, you can go to the notification section and you can decide which apps can give you notifications. So I have like my notifications off for all social media. So doing this, you know, I don't feel obligated to check Snapchat or Instagram or whatever every time I see those fucking icons. Mm-hmm. I don't see them, so I don't know. And so the only times I can tell when I've got something on Instagram or like not right now, I don't have Snapchat, but when I did, like, you know, would be to actually go onto the app themselves. And then if I'm spending time with someone all day, I'm not really going to be looking at my phone. And then when I do, I'm like, oh shit, I got like 20 Snapchats. And So yeah, it's just, that's another quick thing, is because you're not being notified when something's happening. So mm-hmm. then you're less likely to keep checking it, because
bougie, it's not bitch, like, solution.
What?
Bougie bitch solution for the bougie-ish of fishers. Uh-huh. My like Apple Watch, or like any of the smartwatches, if you can connect all of your notifications to it, is really helpful, because like I find that I'm able to screen things a lot better and like compartmentalize like what's important. Like Snapchats are not important. Yeah. Text messages, if you fall within a certain group of people, I look. But like all of those things, like, oh, I don't need to check my phone. I know exactly who is trying to contact me, but I need to get these things done. So I'm going to just do those first.
Yeah. Yeah. And I have the Fitbit Versa 2 or whatever, the new one. Mm-hmm. And the only notifications I get are like my email, which is so weird to me that my email's hooked up to it. My email and my, my text. So like, I mm-hmm. can't even tell. And granted, I wouldn't let it anyway, but like, it doesn't even show. Yeah, it just shows me like the important shit, which is nice too, because then, you know, I'm looking at my phone less, because I'm like, oh, this person texted me, like I'll text them back here shortly or whatever.
Yeah, like I can read it, I can put it down, I can decide to come back to it later, and like the notification, the little red bubble will still be there on your phone, and you'll know to answer the thing. It's not like it'll get lost if you don't see it. Like,
yeah. Topical. So, yeah. So next tip is more focused on breakups, or, you know, breakups. The ending whatever type of relationship. Delete the apps. Don't worry about blocking.
And when you say the apps, what do you mean? The social media?
The social media apps in which you are using to stalk this person.
The stalker app.
Yes. So Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, Tumblr, I don't fucking care.
Anything Reddit. Joe uses, I'm from Netflix.
Yes. So don't even worry about blocking, unfriending, whatever the fuck. Just delete your apps off your phone for at least a week. And because I maintain the belief that, like, literally until I die, that the first week of a breakup is and will always be the hardest part. After the first week, it gets easier, because that first week you are feeling that pain very raw. And not to say that it gets easy or like you're magically cured after 1 week, but after a week, you know, that pain that you feel in your chest like legitimately starts to go away.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets better. So just delete the apps, makes it a lot easier for you to not stalk your ex, especially if, like, for when Matt and I broke up, you know, I still wanted him in my life, but I didn't want to see anything about him. So I deleted all the apps off my phone, because I was like, I need to go. I went home to Chicago and I was like, I just need to like cry for a week and be sad and just like feel these emotions, because I'm also a big fan of like not bottling that shit in when that happens, because then you're likely to end up with like commitment related issues. And like, if you're someone who like wants or enjoys being in love, you don't want that. So like, just feel that shit, but for your own mental health, just delete the apps. If, on the other hand, you are the dumper and are less downtrodden by the ending of this relationship, do your ex a favor and block them from your stuff.
Yep.
Particularly if there are hard feelings, you know, don't be a dick. Don't be like, I'm going to show off everything. No, do your ex and yourself a favor and just put everything on private and block them or unfriend them, whatever.
Yeah. Because I made a point to like block, unfriend, or like just generally like not even post a lot.
Yeah. Because, you know, if this is someone that you still remotely care about, you don't want them to be spending all their time ruminating over you. Like, if you don't,
you also don't want to like give them the opportunity, like trigger them into getting in contact with you.
Yeah.
Cause like, especially my last breakup, like it was the right thing to do, but it was really, really hard. And if I had been given any opportunity to like slip back and take it back, there was a distinct possibility that I could have done that. And I'm really glad that I didn't. However, if I had been like posting or had not blocked this person, had not removed them from things, had not made it very, very clear that like I didn't want to communicate with them, that could have changed. So you gotta like take it not only for yourself, but like for others, also like for yourself. Like you made a decision, stick with it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, that's just, those are just my little breakup tips. But now back to my last three are kind of general, but they still work for, you know, post-breakup. All of these apply. Mm-hmm. Set a time frame. So as with any cleanse, it typically is not forever. So set mm-hmm. small goals to start and then you can progress as you want. So start with 1 week or 3 days, whatever, you know, start mm-hmm. start with something small and then continue on. So, you know, if you say I'm going to go delete all my social media apps for 6 months, you're probably going to fail because you're like, that's a long time. But if you say I'm just going to delete it for the month of February because it's the shortest month of the year, mm-hmm. then do it then. Or, you know, I'm going to do it for 2 weeks or whatever, you know, just set a time frame. And kind of yeah. going into tip number 5 would be kind of just starting small. So you can also delete one app at a time. So, you know, mm-hmm. I hadn't had a Twitter in years, so that was easy for me. But I recently realized that I was spending so much time obsessing over like Snapchat and Instagram, like even at work. So I just decided to delete them. But like after 2 days, I was like, I can't fucking be without Instagram or like one of them. Like I need something so that I can be in some contact with my friends outside of like group me. But so I just ended up getting Instagram back because I also like to send Katie astrology memes. So
like why a lot of try to live without astrology memes.
Right. A lot of my friends and I like we send things on Instagram that are just memes. So like I don't mm-hmm. want to miss that shit. Snapchat I can go without, but yeah.
So you're the not plan sending is, as many memes.
I know, that's because I'm trying not to be on my phone as much. But
no, just like you're not sending memes via Snapchat is what I'm trying to say.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You can't really, so
yeah, I do have people who send, I have dudes that send me memes via Snapchat.
Weird. Dudes are really weird about Snapchat.
Yeah, like dudes don't want any evidence of anything. They don't want evidence that they talk to you. It's so strange.
True.
They're really trying to live off the grid, except they're bad at it.
Yes. But anyway, my plan was essentially to just be without these for about a month. And so we'll kind of see. I'm a little over a week or about a week without Snapchat. I really don't miss it that much. So, but I've had multiple people, Katie being one of them, like mentioned something about a Snapchat they sent, and hers was, Katie, was about fucking Tesla. She didn't even realize that I didn't even see it. And I'm like, of all people in your life that would comment on a Tesla store, it is I. But someone else the other day, today, was like, I asked you this. This is why I asked you a question. I was like, you didn't ask me this fucking question. And they were like, I Snapchatted you. And I was like, oh, well.
You do, like, people have the expectation that they can get a hold of you. No. And like me, I'm not mad that you didn't see me at the Tesla store because like it is glorious, but
I'm just shocked.
I can go back.
I mean, I'll see it because like I didn't delete my account. So when I get Snapchat again, it'll be there. But I'm just shocked because for someone that used Snapchat so much, I was like, wow, if I ever stop Snapchatting, people will like think I died. No one has asked me if I died, so
but I've still been in contact with you, and I didn't know if it was just, like, maybe, like, you're not sending stuff or you're not checking it at all. Because I'm also, not checking that you're checking unless you're communicating back with me.
That's
because
fair.
All of us are using social media in such a one-sided, please hear me kind of way. Yeah. Like, we're all guilty of that. Hardcore guilty of that. So.
Yeah. So, here we are. Anyway, don't have Snapchat. Just have Instagram and Facebook. But it's pretty nice. I highly recommend it. But definitely the top two of just like turning off notifications and putting your phone away when you're with other people. Like put it in your bag, put it in your pocket. Do not put it near you because then you're going to be like, or if it's on the table, flip that shit over. Like put it away because then you're going to be less inclined to, you know, use it. And what's really nice is, like, on New Year's or whatever, I, like, didn't want to bring my bag in. So I asked my partner, I was like, yo, can I just put my phone in your pocket? Thanks. So then anytime I wanted to use it, I had to ask him for it.
Yeah.
And so it was, like, I was less inclined to, like, try to pull it out and take a bunch of stupid fucking photos. I still took a bunch of stupid fucking photos, but I took them at certain times. So it was fine. And I was able to enjoy, like, the evening and meet a bunch of new people and things like that. And, like, be present and not just, like, sitting on my phone being like, what's everyone else doing on New Year's? Because, honestly, I didn't give a fuck, so.
I think, like, that's also, like, you're motivated to, like, get to know those people because you're in a new situation. And, like, give everyone that self, that sense of respect. Because I feel like I'm guilty of using my phone around my friends, too. And, like, I was actually just talking to someone and we were complaining about a friend that does this who will sit on their phone, like, the whole time you're hanging out with them. And then, like, ask you questions about things that you, like, ask you for answers about things that you told them when they were playing on their phone. So it's clear they're not paying attention either.
Yeah.
And, like, just, but we know that this person goes on dates and we assume that they don't do that to the, like, the Bumble person they're talking to. So, like, give your friends the same respect that you would give someone that you're trying to fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair. But my last tip is to simply just don't be so harsh on yourself. Mm-hmm. If you mess up, don't get, like, super upset about it. Shit happens. Just like dieting, it's all about moderation. The goal is just to establish a healthy relationship with social media. So it's not necessarily to be rid of it forever. Like, I personally love taking photos of things, especially myself, because I'm hot. But I love sharing my life. I love talking. I love, you know, interacting with people, seeing other people's things. And so, but the issue is, like, the moment it starts affecting the way I maintain my presence in real life and, like, my productivity at work, like, something needs to change. So it's all about moderation, but at the same time, you're human, so it's okay to, like, fuck up and, you know, whatever. I think give yourself a fucking break. One dinosaur at a time,
people. Fucking break.
And that's that on that.
Yeah. The only other addition I'd have to this, if you're trying to, like, not be on social media or, like, trying to not stalk somebody, download an addictive game. Like, yeah, you're replacing some, like, bad behavior with some bad behavior. But, like, you can't stalk your ex and get upset if you're playing Candy Crush.
True. Download, like, a game that's good for your, like, brain, too. Like, chess.
Yeah.
Or something. Something that, like, causes you to think so that you're still exercising your brain. But you're not texting your ex, so you're good.
Yeah. Get a puzzle game. Be, like, smart about it. Yeah. Hell yeah. Hells to the yeah. Cool. We are coming to the end of this episode.
We are indeed.
We are indeed. I hope that you learned something today or were reminded of something that you should be doing today.
Yeah.
And I hope that we helped our person. I think she's, like, setting herself up for success. It's just the reminder of, like, don't be hard on yourself. Set those boundaries, but don't set them too hard. And, like, set yourself up for that success and, like, do what you can to, like, remove this person from your path. So you don't have to, like, interact with them or, like, feel bad or feel weird.
Yeah.
Because especially that, like, you weren't my boyfriend, but you were my boyfriend situation. Ugh. It's a lot of emotions.
It is. Katie knows it very well.
I do. Except I made that man my boyfriend. Finally. I'm that bitch. One in a million.
Woo!
Yeah. But...
I feel like...
so, like, I know that sitch. Amanda knows that sitch. We all know that sitch. So just, like, take it in stride. You can do it. And let us know how it goes. Again, if you have questions or needs for advice, 50 Worst Dates Podcast on Instagram or 50 Worst Dates Pod on Instagram and 50worstdatespodcast@gmail.com. You can submit whatever advice, stories, or whatever you want to do. We should also talk about happy endings.
Yeah. So, Katie, what is your happy ending?
Dude, so I went on Amazon and I bought myself a bunch of shit to better my life in this new decade. One of those things looks like a sex toy, but it's not a sex toy. Congrats to me. I'm expanding out on my internet purchases. It is this device that sucks the goop out of your pores.
Uh-huh.
And I did it today, and everything is so soft and exfoliated because it also just, like, sucks the layers of dead skin off your face, too. So, like, I was, like, very ready for, like, a good exfoliation. Did that. Did a moisturizer. We're good to go. Everything is, like, fresh as a baby's bottom. And the blackheads that I had on my chin and my nose are gone.
Proud of you.
I specifically bought it for boob pimples, and we're still working on getting the angles right for that.
Okay.
Because, like, you can't pop boob pimples if they're underneath your boob.
Yeah.
It's a very hard angle.
That's fair.
What's your happy ending, baby boo?
My happy ending is that my lovely significant other went to Target, which is a great place to go.
Wow. He did so good already.
He did. And he, like, showed up one evening, and he was being all weird. His hands were behind his back, and I was like, what the fuck? Like, why are your hands behind your back? And he's like, I got you something. And I was like, dear God, please no. I hate surprises because I always get worried that I'm going to hate it. And then, like, I show everything on my face. So I fear that I'm going to hate it. And then they're going to see how much I hate it, like, immediately.
Mm-hmm.
That's just how little faith I have in everyone.
But, right. Nobody's as good at giving gifts as you think you are.
That's fair. But he nailed it because he got me the newest Khalid album on vinyl.
Mm.
And I, like, lost my fucking mind. So.
Does he realize that if Khalid walked into the room, you would dump him real hard immediately for Khalid?
I mean, we would probably mutually dump each other.
Yeah.
Or we would try to have a threesome.
Yeah. Fair.
So.
Fucking fair.
Yeah. But I got him hooked on Khalid too. And, like, I was just, oh yeah. So it's great. The album is fantastic. It's probably one of my favorites. So Khalid is probably, like, one of my favorite artists. So I was pretty stoked. It was, like, a good start. I think it was, like, Sunday too. So it was, like, a great, great start to the week.
Yeah, hell yeah. That's some solid positivity.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, guys, reminder that bad dates can turn into good relationships if you go on enough with them.
We didn't have a bad date, just to clarify. But I've been on many bad dates.
You've been on many. You need to get that experience under your belt, though. Yes. Statistically speaking.
But our first date was not bad at all. So it was the opposite. It was good.
That's fair. That's fucking fair. That's fair.
Yeah, so, you know, because we haven't been on that many bad dates, and because we are both now tied down ladies, not in the hot way, just kidding, kind of in the hot way, our goal...
Depending on what day it is.
Our goal is to base future episodes after stories or, you know, questions that are not our own. So please submit anything to us at the aforementioned things that Katie mentioned. So our Gmail, which is 50wordstatespodcast@gmail.com, or Instagram at 50wordstatespod.
We'll take your worst dates. We'll take your horror stories. We'll take your sex mishaps, your boner blunders, whatever the hell it might be. We will take that tale and we will just laugh at you, with you, about you. Probably mostly about the person you went on a date with. But at the same time, we still got other bad dates. We have the guy who showed up to the Art Institute drunk.
Yeah.
I did tell the puppet
man
story.
Which, like, you have to pay to go there. Why?
He also showed up late.
Why would you show up drunk? Because then you don't remember it.
And drunk. It was awful.
Ugh. Well, anyway.
Dates after that, they were equally as awful. Our goal is to base episodes on you guys and talk about the general experience, because we're all going on bad dates out there, and your life story is not complete without at least one horror story. We all have one. So, like, let's commiserate about it.
Woo. If you love our music, it's from bensound.com. You probably can't understand a fucking word coming out of my mouth. If you love our cover art, it is by Tori Scranton, and you can find her at tscrantonart on Instagram and Etsy.
Hell yeah. We'll talk to you guys next week, back on Thursdays.
Peace out. I'm about to pass the fuck out. Thank you, NyQuil.
We did it.